Hey, Danger Dan Jurz here with a quick announcement. Our next interstitial bonus content will be Daniel's Power Rangers mini campaign, and it will be the final one before the start of Season 2 officially begins. It's a soft Season 1 epilogue slash side story that will be releasing exclusively on Patreon, with its first episode dropping Wednesday, May 27th. Stick around after the episode to hear a sneak preview. More details about Season 2 will be coming soon, so keep an ear out and enjoy the episode.
D&D Dark Souls is a dark fantasy adventure intended for older audiences. Content warnings can be found in the episode descriptions.
You were risen from the earth, given a second birth. When all has fallen into darkness, a chance to break the
Hello and welcome to D&D Dark Souls, a dark fantasy actual play podcast inspired by mechanics from the Dark Souls tabletop role-playing game system and starring some of Fantasia's most fractured fairy tales. I am your host and scribe of the Great Flame, Ben Magnet.
Hi, I'm Jordan and I play the Spider, an assassin rogue. Last time, we all emerged from our graves to live anew, bequeathed a task to destroy the evil of this land and make sure the fires stay lit. The Spider previously is really trying to find her footing back in the world. She was very used to being isolated and living alone in the woods, and now she's a part of a team which she's comforted by. Some of our friends are a little rough around the edges. I won't name names because I don't have to.
No, it's fine.
But she's trying to learn how to navigate working as a team and these new people. Trust them, but safe distance, because the last time she trusted people, things didn't go great for her.
Hello, I'm Grayson. I believe I didn't say who I was last time, so I'm going to keep that up. Best thing that I could tell you is that I am a Knight of the Round Table. We happen to wake up in caskets of all things. Turns out that we have been summoned to this world to complete some sort of task that isn't 100% clear to us, but that's okay because we're going to find out very, very soon.
Hello, everyone. I'm Aaron, and I'll be playing the Huntsman, our team's thief with a fencer origin. Last time, though the Huntsman had died to absolve himself of failing his most important task, he found that death was no escape and was returned to the world and granted 3 new marks as a chance at redemption. And then he dealt a fuckload of damage, baby. I fucking love this guy. Stand up in a tree. Dead.
Let's
dead.
Fucking go. Hell yeah.
Big protagonist energy coming from this guy.
Woo! And then he found out that the least favorite member of the team is this really annoying prince guy who seems to think his life has inherent value.
Oh. Hello, I'm Danger Dan Jurz, and I am playing Prince Edward. I discovered last time that my life has inherent value and prestige. Last time, going through an introductory combat, a little crash course in the way the world works, got assailed by several hollow zombies, and then got smacked around and smack-talked around by a great big scary knight, and it's become increasingly clear and obvious that I will be depending very, very highly and greatly on the wiles and skills of the people around me in order to make it back to that throne.
Hello, my name is Daniel Cruz, and I played the real boy, our cleric. And last session, we woke up, I was able to get a little cricket, was able to do some healing, able to smack some monsters around a little bit, and I got to throw one lightning spear, which did a lot more damage than I probably should have had for the very first boss fight.
It's a tutorial boss fight, it's fine. Okay, now let's get back into the darkness. After your long rest, every single one of you is rejuvenated by the warmth of the fire. All of you notice 3 thrones at the very tippy top of the shrine. Think of them as like guardian gargoyle statues overlooking the fire. And of course, you see the godmother who is just there, just she is in deep thought. And Cid is over in his corner, just grumbling to himself.
The prince is going to take a seat next to the real boy and is going to say, "So that lightning bolt that you threw last time, is that a teachable skill?"
Just looks him up and down. What is he wearing exactly?
Big poofy pantaloons and a long flowing tunic that is in rags and tatters. So it's this weird juxtaposition of what should be fancy regal attire that looks very of the earth.
Potentially it can be. If you're willing to get rid of any motions to all of it, this.
Perhaps it's better off in your hands.
Like, I know of a nice hermitage you can attend if you'd like to begin your training.
Absolutely not.
Somehow that does not surprise me.
The huntsman will wander over to the godmother and stand silently, probably a little bit awkwardly close, drilling holes in her with his eyes until she notices and acknowledges him.
The godmother takes a few moments, blinks a few times, and looks over and goes, Oh, dearie, I'm so sorry. Is there anything I could help you with, dear?
You mentioned that you could convert these loose souls into strength. We have much need of them for the road ahead.
Yes, please, come closer, dearie, let me see. And this is where we're going to talk about how leveling up works. So, just like in the Dark Souls video games, souls are your currency, and they are also your experience points. You need those to level up. Now, since all of you are starting off at level 5, there is a handy-dandy table that I have right here that tells me how many souls it will take for you all to reach level 6. If you don't have enough, you're just gonna have to kill some more enemies and wait till next time.
All right.
14,000.
The huntsman looks at her. This is highway robbery. He walks away.
There are laws to magic that I just cannot break, and this is unfortunately one of them. But on the bright side, you're already very powerful, that someone has blessed you. The Great Flame may have blessed all of you. In rising from the grave, this strong already, you may actually be our best hope. And you just hear Sid in the corner go,
"Best hope. We shall see about that."
The spider has been staring unblinking at the fire, and she's gonna look up with like the flame glow kind of licking at the bottom of her chin and just stare straight at the godmother.
So in other words, we just need to keep killing, right?
As much as I dislike the macabre, yes. The monsters that the vile ones have, they essentially give off the souls of those that they have defeated, and well, those souls give you energy, and those can be converted to improve your own strength, so...
Understood. So it's the same as it ever was. And then she's gonna go back to looking at the flames.
Oh, dear, you have walked down a very, very hard road, haven't you?
And you'll notice very subtly she'll wince, but continues to look at the flickering flames.
Oh, dear me, I almost forgot. To get to and from these bonfires are essentially the doorway. You just need to sit down at one and think of where you all collectively want to go. The next bonfire you reach to, you can come here anytime you want to see me, to see Cid. I'm assuming soon he'll have something to offer.
I'm looking.
Just give him some time. He'll sort his own things out. But yes, anyone who has any shred of grace or favor by the princesses will be able to come here. And while this is a safe haven, it is still linked to the outside. The worse that things get out there, the worse things get in here. So, but still, take as much time as you need to rest, but when you're ready to go, just sit around the flame, think of where you need to go, and the fire will take you there.
So it sounds like we're going to need to be doing quite a lot of murder, which, I don't know how squeamish the rest of you are, but I, for one, am no stranger to making enemies.
Yeah, no, I believe that.
The huntsman almost smiles.
The godmother just overhears this as she sits down on her little stoop.
Oh, maybe they're not the ones after all.
Damn.
You're not particularly quiet, but lucky for you, I have thick skin.
Literally.
Before we head out, the very real boy over there seems fine. The spider is incredibly competent and a true ally. Knight and Dandy. The last great warrior we fought, Pyotr Gundyr, he had things to say about both of you. I'm not particularly interested in any of our mortal baggage, but are you gonna fucking stab us in the back?
The knight's head is going to lift up after kind of like nursing what was known to them as the last wound that is kind of just below their heart. But on the back side of him, you would probably see a large hole, almost as if he was skewered through it. And he will pick up his head and look over in your direction.
I do not believe that that is aligned with what I'm going to be trying to do later. I fully intend to work with all of you.
And the dandy?
Well, we're all aligned in similar goals, and it's quite clear to me that I will not survive this venture by being in opposition to all of you, so I have no reason to turn coat.
Then I'll press on when the rest of you are ready.
I think you'll hear behind the fire just like a light tapping sound. And at this point, the spider has gotten on the ground and is tapping the glass of the lantern that the real boy has, just kind of watching the cricket inside.
I like your little friend. They're very cute.
Tap, 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 tap. All right, is everyone ready to move on?
I think so.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. You all sit by the fire, and you think of the last bonfire you visited, which is the bonfire at the fighting ground with Pyotr Gundyr. You notice that Pyotr Gundyr is gone, but you do hear the shuffling of the hallowed dead that you killed on your way over here. But to the north of you, these twin doors are now wide open, leading to a green, grassy pathway.
Heck yeah, that sounds as good as anything.
That sounds as inviting as a desolate, horrible world can be.
The prince is going to indicate to everyone else, by all means, after you.
You'll glide forward.
To the north!
To the north!
As we're making our way north, the prince, kind of having clocked some of the others examining their own mortal wounds, is going to feel upon his back and tracing out the indent of hoof marks. And then will shudder to himself as they continue moving.
Clumsy bitch.
Oh my gosh. You all walk through the doors and you are upon a path. As you come across a very green, a very shaded area, a ruined parapet is standing before you, and you see a figure dead ahead, fully armored, but he is standing in a very unthreatening stance. He is looking around, consulting a map, just like scratching his head and just very confused about what is, like, where the hell he is.
Shall I kill him? And the huntsman raises his bow.
The real boy is going to put his hand on top of the bow and push it down and says, I do not believe this one means us immediate harm. That being said, perhaps you should be prepared for the worst. And he's going to approach and hail, traveler.
The armored gentleman looks up to you, smiles, puts his map away, and goes, oh, well met, Ashen Ones. Nice to see new faces take up the fight against the Vile Ones. He goes over, shakes your hand, is like, name's Mick. I'm an Ashen One as well, and to be honest, I don't know how long ago it was when I woke up. But that's besides the point. I was actually on my way to find someone. He's not really a friend, more of an acquaintance. His name is Pyotr. Pyotr Gundyr. Oh. Have you all met him?
Oh, no.
The bow goes right back up.
Friend. I mean no harm. We're all on the same side here. Please. Oh, gosh. What did I say to offend you all?
The spider is going to see this overly jovial
a stranger danger face, and she's just gonna like dive into the bushes and immediately hide. Stranger danger, stranger danger.
I promise you all, I mean you no harm, please. I was just looking. He's an acquaintance. He is an Ashen One like us. Do you know, just tell me what happened to him. That's all I ask.
The prince is going to step forward. Forgive the skittishness of my traveling companions. We did come from a battlefield of great strife. We were surrounded by several hallowed ones, and I believe your friend is making quick work of them and is holding the line so that we may progress. He would want you to go along with us off ahead.
The real boy looks at the prince. He's very not pleased with the obvious bold-faced lie that he knows is a lie, but this guy doesn't.
The knight's going to slowly put his hand across the real boy's chest and back him off just slightly.
Peter is dead.
What? By the flame!
That's an awfully pessimistic view of the situation, my friend. That is unconfirmed at this time.
I believe it was us that watched him fade away.
Fade away? Wait a minute. You, as Mick goes to the knight, did he say something about anything about the vile ones? Anything at all?
The prince is staring daggers at the knight.
The real boy is going to take a step backward.
The spider's going to tug at the real boy's skirt, like, come in here, it's safe in here.
As there's space being opened up, the knight is going to fill in that space to make sure that he has Mick's full attention.
While we're in the bushes hiding.
From what I gather, Peter himself had decided to change alliances.
By hearing the news, Mick backs off, and he has a face of not necessarily shock, but disappointment. He goes, curse it all. I'd hope he could fight the influence longer, but seems the damn fool chose darkness over the light. Can't say I'm surprised. He always loved flinging himself into fighting, and fool thought he was invincible as an Ashen One who couldn't die, only to find himself in the darkness and dead all the same. I was trying to find him to talk some sense, and last time I saw him, he was rambling about how this whole endeavor of ours is pointless and how we stand no chance, there's no hope, and blah, blah, blah. But I was just hoping that maybe I could reach him. I mean, we go way back, but our relationship is, well, strained, to say the least. We've always been at each other's throats when it came to command, when it came to being a captain, when it came to various opportunities. We found ourselves on opposite ends, and I hoped that we would be on the same side for once, but apparently not. Oh, well.
With Mick rambling about all this background information, I'm assuming I could see his face.
His helmet is like standing by where he was originally, but he has open face. You can see him. You can tell Mick is not hiding a damn thing.
Yeah. Last time I remember, Gundyr had made mention that we essentially kind of like were acquaintances of each other. Would I have the same history? Is there something that I can remember about this character?
You remember a very faint conversation. So what you remember of Gundyr back when you were alive during the war, before you died, was that Gundyr loved just traveling to the most vicious battlegrounds he could just so he can prove himself. And he mentioned how much he just wanted to make a point to that little pipsqueak Mick.
Okay.
The prince, to cover his own ass, is going to say, oh, that Pete Gundyr. I beg your pardon. I was mistaken. I had him confused for another one. So if our stories don't align, that would be the reason why. That it was entirely my mistake. Please believe our dear friend, the knight here, as I am, like, white-knuckling his armor in fury.
Friend, I understand. We live in very dangerous times, and when Ashen Ones can fall to the influence of the Vile Ones, it is understandable you want to keep your guard up. And look, I may have not been completely honest in the first place about my relationship with him, but knowing that he is gone, while I am sad, I know that we can still win this fight. I am just currently lost. I was trying to find him, but also I've lost some companions of mine. They seem to be, well, I don't know where exactly they went. Last time they said anything, they said they were on the way to Ebony Castle, but they weren't at Ebony Castle last time I checked.
Can you please tell us whether Ebony Castle is close by or not?
Ebony Castle is that way, as he points to the west. If you keep walking west, you'll hit the crossroad, but there is a fork in the road that will lead you up further north to where the castle is. I checked around the castle grounds, but it's pretty heavily fortified, so I really, really hope my friends did not go in there. I'm trying to find more Ashen Ones to essentially raid the castle and take down the Queen of Vanity so we can at least start the end of this war.
Did it seem as though a Vile One was still in Ebony Castle?
Oh, she never left. One of the magics of the princess's place is that they trapped the Vile Ones in their strongholds, but the strongholds are so heavily fortified, Ashen Ones who go to try and meet them, well, they just keep trying and fall, and their minds crumble, and they become part of their army. That's probably what happened to Gundyr. He kept fighting those monsters and fell to their influence.
Well, everyone, looks like we're going west.
Oh, but if you do happen to see him, let me tell you what they look like, just in case. I'm going to be traveling just a little bit more. Maybe there's a few more Ashen Ones who will hopefully I can spot who aren't dead that could help us. But if you do see them, there's two of them. One is short statured and he has a very short temper. And the other may seem like an absolute bumbling oaf, but I promise you he is an absolute must in a fight. The short one, it goes by Donathan, and the larger one is Gerald.
Gerald?
Not Donathan.
But if you do happen to see them, could you pass along the message that I'll be going to the crossroad? There's a bonfire there. That's where I will be. If you see them, I will meet them there. Oh, and also, my friends, I'd like to give you this. And he hands you a golden soapstone.
Ooh.
I have no need to bathe anymore, but I appreciate the sentiment.
Oh, no. This isn't for bathing. This is for summoning. So the golden soapstone is a magical item that lets you summon NPCs to help you fight bosses.
Ooh.
Some Ashen Ones, they tend to go off on their own, and others, well, they need some help every once in a while. So all you have to do is just touch it, say my name, and a ghost of me will come and I will fight with you, in a sense.
Madam, is this Silk?
Who, me? Are you just sitting with me, like, examining the lace?
Yeah, is this Silk?
It is, thank you for noticing.
It's very fine.
Thank you, I harvested it myself.
I'm sorry, you what?
What? Hey, we should go.
We appreciate your alliance ship, Mick. Great. We will step out of your way if you will get out of ours. We're on a mission.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you take care of that soapstone / summoning. I know I called it a soapstone earlier. It's actually called a summoning sigil, but you know, same thing. You know, tomato, tomato, all that jazz. What is jazz anyway? I don't know. What am I? I apologize for that rambling. Anyways, Ebony Castle, that way. You'll go through the dead woods, unfortunately. Be careful, though. Stay weary. Ravenous beasts and all that. And with that, I wish you luck. And he grabs his things and walks away.
The knight is going to look back towards the real boy.
In the bushes.
Who is like slowly clambering out of the bush now.
Yeah, we both slowly rise from the shrubbery.
And also, I forgot to mention earlier, but when Mick said Deadwood, Huntsman, that name rings a very, very big bell in your head.
Okay, good to know. Oh, fuck me.
I would like to apologize for my bluntness, but I thought it might be dishonorable to lie to this individual and allow them to continue looking for something that they will not find.
You will find no qualms from me with honesty, Sir Knight.
Well, then perhaps we'd better let me do the lying, then. If so many of us have issues with dishonesty, sometimes you need to be dishonest in order to make progress.
The fop speaks wisely.
And you were asking if I could teach you to use my lightning spear earlier. You have simply proven to me that you are not capable.
Also, young sire, I would posit the idea that if you wish to be a proper ruler, you need to suss out the proper moments in which to lie and to tell the truth. This was not one of those moments.
Agree to disagree.
and the prince will begin to saunter down towards what looks like a chest. And without looking whatsoever, I am going to make a grab for this chest.
Okay, you make a grab for the chest.
While that's happening, I'd like to offer the summoning stone to the real boy.
He will accept it and give it a quick little look over in his hand and pop it into his bag and says, should we need this, I will be happy to use it. Any aid we can have is always welcomed, I hope.
I'm going to saddle up to the real boy and the huntsman, and I'm going to say, I think Mick was lying to us. I think he does know what jazz is.
I find your observation insightful. Truly, jazz is one of the most popular musical genres of our era and those that came before.
Back to Dan, who, without any abandon, thrusts open that treasure chest. He finds a dark moon longbow.
Ooh.
It is a longbow with 1/8 piercing damage, and its special ability is spend 2 position after a successful attack to reduce the target's AC by 2 until the start of your next turn.
Oh.
Would anyone else like to do anything in the road to Crossroad?
There's one more tempting chest up to the north, and that went so well. Why would this one be bad?
Yeah.
You just have to approach him with confidence.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
The real boy is gonna walk up to this one, look it over a little bit more carefully than the prince did.
Would you like to make
An investigation or an insight or whatever?
Make me an insight check.
That will be an unnatural 20.
Ooh.
It is a straight up chest. There is nothing breathing. Nothing's going to bite
you.
And so he looks back to the prince and he says, like this, and like tries his best to mimic the confidence of the prince with this like forced smile.
Maybe like a small flinch.
The moment that it's open, his hands go away from it because treasure chests are scary.
Daniel, you find the worker's robe. It is an AC of 11 plus your dexterity modifier. And whenever you are wearing the worker's robes, you gain plus 2 to your constitution score. But all charisma checks are at disadvantage.
Mm.
So you can equip it or you can put it in your inventory.
I'm going to stash it.
Okay.
And then while all this is going on, the prince is going to say to the spider, so that Mick fella, some people just don't know when to stop talking. Am I right? He just went on and on and on, and I thought he would never leave.
You hear the stretching of a bowstring.
And the spider will just stare.
Well, as you continue out west, you come to the fork in the road. Continuing west will get you to Crossroad, but you also see 2 massive animals just munching on some grass. They haven't noticed you yet, but they are hideous. Their skin has this natural armor and they both are bearing tusks. These beasts are dangerous, but they also can be left alone if you don't bother them.
Is it possible to scale this outcropping of stone to our north?
Yeah, you can climb it.
Well, obviously, the huntsman is going to climb it.
Okay.
But first, he walks aside behind to where the prince is. He gets really awkwardly close behind him, and he whispers, there was wisdom in your approach. It is much easier to kill prey from nearby. And then he scrambles up the hill.
The prince is going to not quite know how to respond to that, but will remember that.
The prince will remember that.
The huntsman's bow is drawn and he's just gesturing at the animals like,
I will follow in the scrambling up this hill.
Fish in a barrel, everybody. Let's go.
If you are itching for a fight, might I recommend we try to lure one at a time?
I'm absolutely willing to do that. Just somebody give me the signal and I will let go of this arrow that's been drawn for like 2 minutes. It's really heavy now.
Arm is shaking from the strain.
I will simply stand in front.
Oh my god, don't stand in front of the bow. Oh my god, what are you doing?
I'm pretty sure you could fire over his shoulder.
You say as he's trembling from the strain of holding this arrow.
The prince is going to fire an arrow to the north of both of these beasts, not at them, but to draw their attention away.
This thing boar hears it. And he just like walks over, investigates. He just sees a stick in the ground, looks around a bit to the north, a bit to the south. And he sees like the other boar just minding his own business, not doing a damn thing, just munching on some grass.
I'm so sorry, y'all. But the huntsman sees the prince shoot a bow and he goes, "What?" Really loud. Just like one of those "what's" that makes all the birds fly away. And he just lets go of the arrow he's holding and it goes maybe towards the southern boar.
Oh, come on.
With that, both boars turn around. They see y'all and they start snorting and squealing. They are about to charge. Roll initiative and roll your Yay. Position.
I'm so sorry, Dan.
No, that's great.
All right, top of the round. Daniel, you're up.
From a distance, really the only thing I can do is another lightning spear, which seems a little...
Roast pig, anybody?
Yum. I mean, I guess I can do the lightning spear. All right.
I'm down.
Daniel, don't forget that it's our one weakness coming up, which is more than one combat in a row.
I know.
If you use them now, that's the fun part. That's balance. Then we're fucked later.
I have four of them. I think I'm going to try and use one to just soften it up so that we have less to deal with.
Okay. Which one are you aiming at?
I'm going to target the one that is farther away, I suppose.
Okay.
So let me roll to hit. 18 to hit.
That hits.
Yay!
27 lightning damage to his tuchus.
Ooh. All right, so your lightning bolt goes straight to the armored boar. It hits him, it jolts him with electricity, and he just unleashes this high-pitched squeal, and he looks right at you, and he is ready to charge. His brain is dead set on you, real boy.
I wave.
But I recommend that you back up.
I take a step back.
All right, it is Dan's turn.
So the prince is going to look disappointed at the huntsman and say, "Well, I was trying to give you an opening to strike, but I suppose this works too." And he's going to fire the short bow. That is an 8.
That will not hit. So as your arrow does this big giant arc and bounces off the natural armor of the boar doesn't even notice it.
Ah, that makes more sense.
And that's my turn.
All right, Jordan, you're up.
Seeing as I do not have ranged options, I look at my S-stock sword. And no, I am at my strongest. If I go first in a fight, the spider will take a sigh. Oh. And start flowing her way down this little plateau.
Oh god, it's all of the movement too.
Yep.
Oh.
Towards the boar to stab through the metallic spines of its fur.
All right, roll to hit.
And I get advantage. Let's swap that to a 19.
A 19 will hit. That's the good news.
Huzzah! So we are going to do 3d6 and a d8. 12 damage to stab his tuchus.
Already fried tuchus.
The already fried tuchus.
Well, Dale attacked the one that's further down.
Never mind. Fresh tuchus.
His unfried tuchus.
Unfried tuchus.
That raw tuchus.
No.
But with well, by stabbing the boar, it now notices you. It hurts. It squeals. It does not want to be turned into a pork chop just yet.
Don't we all? I am going to use my second attack.
Okay, go for it.
18.
18 will hit.
That'll be 6.
Okay, 6 damage.
Double stab.
Yeah, you stabbed it twice. It hurts. Yeah. It doesn't like being stabbed.
Many don't.
And now it is the boar's turn. So the boar is going to attack you.
Yippee! The spider's like, I'm helping.
No.
So it is going to use its fang charge. The fang boar moves at least 20 feet in a straight line. All creatures it passes through are targeted by its armored tusk attack. The target takes an extra 3d6 slashing damage on a successful attack. All creatures the fang boar charges through must succeed on a DC 14 strength saving throw or be knocked prone.
I think the spider seeing it rear back is going to give a sad thumbs up to the group on the plateau and then is going to hold her target shield in front of her, almost like a batter's mitt in baseball. It's like, all right, hit me.
Does a 16 hit?
A 16 is my armor class. Meets beats.
Meets beats, so it hits.
And I make a strength saving throw, you said?
DC 14.
DC 14, which isn't bad. I got a pretty good strength saving throw. I'm for some reason buff. Not that buff. That was a 3 plus 7.
So unfortunately, you are knocked prone. You're going to be taking extra damage.
Would I be able to use my target shield? When using target shield for the first time during a combat, you would suffer damage. You may instead spend 2 position to use a parry reaction.
Yeah, I'll allow it. And now it is Grayson's turn.
Yay! Okay. The knight is going to pull his sword and kind of slide down this hill and look for that singed mark right on his tuchus.
All right, roll to hit.
10.
10 does not hit.
And then I get one more attack. 24.
24 hits.
Sweet. That's going to be 7, but I remember Aaron mentioning that, like, we can up that damage as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you dump your health into it.
Yeah.
Dump.
I'm going to
dump.
Go ahead and dump 5 position into this, so that's going to be 12 damage to this guy.
12 damage total?
Yes.
Okay. Your sword is able to get through the armor plating. It finds flesh. The boar squeals, and it's now its attention is on you.
Excellent. He's just going to raise his shield up and wait for whatever comes next.
All right, it is Aaron's turn.
Huntsman looks over at the prince and he says, I'm sorry to have ruined your ruse. It's just, I interpret the bow as a weapon of skill and I perceived you as utterly incapable of such a feat.
Well, all evidence seems to prove you correct on that front, so...
Yes, but I'm sorry I thought it. So then he's going to look to the north. And he's going to go for that much more weak boar. Does a 19... Yeah, 19 hits. I did not move, so then that is... So 17 damage altogether.
All right, 17.
Nice.
And we move to the top of the order, so it is the real boy's turn. Daniel.
So seeing the spider get absolutely trashed...
I'm okay.
No, you're not.
You're right.
Mechanically, she's fine. But...
Don't worry, the real boy. I said nuh-uh.
So I don't have to worry about healing you too much?
I'm good. I just have fallen over.
Okay. Can I help her up?
You can help her up, yeah.
Yay!
All right, cool. And then I'm going to get swingy with my mace.
Yeah, get swingy with it.
Flat 19.
A flat 19 will hit.
Heck yeah.
Nice.
3 damage.
Hey, damage is damage.
And then I'm going to spend 2 position to use my special ability from my mace to give me a +2 AC, making my AC 15 for the next turn.
Groovy. Awesome. It is now Dan's turn.
After that slightly demoralizing conversation with the huntsman,
I said I was sorry.
I will take another shot.
All right.
9.
Yay.
I am going to spend... 9 position in order to make this hit, because I know an 18 hits.
Okay.
4 damage.
All right.
So I will be fumbling with the short bow, and the bow keeps hopping out of the nock. I finally, just without properly notching it, just in frustration, pull the bow back at full force with the arrow in between my fingers. It wobbles out of the bow and happens to hit the boar for not very much.
Jordan, you're up.
It's me. I like to imagine when the real boy came down to help the spider back up, that you found her with, like, limbs crumpled up like a bug on their back. Just help.
Gross.
flip her back up, and then it's back to, like, the elegant flowing movements, and then she goes, thank you, stabs. 19 stab.
19 hits.
We don't get a crit, but still very nice. So that will be 18 damage.
Woo!
All right, 18 damage total.
Heck yeah. And then for a second attack, that will be an 18 to hit.
That will hit.
6 additional damage.
Holy hell.
All righty.
It's nice to be on my feet again.
Yep. But unfortunately, now that you're on your feet, the boar is looking dead at you. And he is ready to charge one more time. Because it is now the boar's turn. Both of them.
Slow turns to the real boy. It's nice knowing you.
It was fun.
So the first one is going to charge, but he's going to hit Jordan and the other boar.
Yay!
Hell yeah.
Because it's in the way.
Yeah.
Guys, the boar rolled a nat 1.
Hell yeah.
Yippee!
Yay!
Hell yeah.
Some of the grass gives away. The boar lands on side. And I am going to let Jordan and Daniel free shot. Roll the hit.
Free shot. Hell yeah.
The huntsman turns to look at the prince. I mean, you're better than the boar, huh?
Oh no, they're getting friendly.
You know, given the context of everything, I'm having a hard time deciding whether or not that was backhanded, so I'll just take the compliment.
Smile.
As the spider and the real boy were looking at each other and giving their final farewells to being demolished by this boar, seeing it slip like a banana peel, the spider's gonna turn back to the real boy with such like a look of glee on her face, like,
just nod slowly.
And then we start just wailing on it.
I got a 16, so I don't think that hits.
I also got a 16. Yeah.
I will dump in 2 more.
To make it to
18 to hit.
Okay, 18 will hit.
Yeah.
Jordan?
I'll do the exact same thing.
Right.
I think what happens is we're too giddy at the fact that I did not get run over by a car. We start swiping at it. We need to take a moment, breathe, focus, and then go for a real hit.
All right, roll damage.
So that would be 3.
Mine would be a 5.
Heck yeah. Strike true, real boy.
That's what we're doing.
Now, the other boar, hearing this and seeing this, is going to position itself to attack Jordan, but it will also attack the other boar.
All right, that was fun. Back to the oh shit moment.
Very much.
So a 16 will hit.
That'll hit.
Jordan, I'm going to need you to make a DC 14 strength save.
As it's barreling towards me, turn to the real boy. Worth it. I got a 23 strength saving throw.
You?
Hell yeah.
Save.
Hell yeah.
As it charges, it hits you, but you stand firm. You still take some slashing damage. That'll be 20 damage.
All right, fair enough.
But you're staying up.
I'm still up.
And the other boar will take 3d6.
Love it.
So it will take 14 slashing damage. No love lost between boars. They just weren't pissing each other off earlier. Now it's like, you're in my way, bud. I can't stop. And now it is Grayson's turn.
I will scooch in right about here and take my 2 attacks at advantage.
Do it.
Yeah.
17 plus 6.
That will hit.
That's going to be 5 damage on that one.
Okay.
Second attack. Oh, that's a 15.
15 won't hit.
Alrighty.
But if you want to pump position to hit, you can.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Alright.
So we'll dump, what is that, like 3 position?
18 will hit.
And another 8 damage on top.
Ooh, okay. Nice. And now it is Aaron's turn.
The huntsman sees what I have to imagine is an easy kill at this point. He smells the pork belly. Dirty 20. Okay.
All right. Ooh.
Time for my ludicrous amount of dice.
Hell yeah. Love to see it.
Yeah.
18 damage.
This boar is looking rough. It is trying to run away, but of course its legs are just kicking nothing but air, so it's like going, squee, squee, squee. The other boar is just kind of going, squee, kind of laughing at the other's misfortune.
I feel bad for the fallen down boar.
All right, top of the round. Daniel, you're up.
I guess I'm just going to keep beating up on the poor guy that's still down.
Yeah.
Just an 18.
All right, that'll hit.
And it's going to be another 5 damage of smacking him.
All right, Dan, it is your turn.
I am going to look and see the expert marksmanship that the huntsman is able to utilize and just come to terms with the fact that this is better in someone else's hands. So I'm going to scramble down the hill using a dash action. I'm going to use my bonus action to hand off the bow to the spider.
Ooh.
I'm going to basically tap her on the shoulder, hand it off to her, and say, "You seem like you can use this a little bit better than I can."
Aw, sick! That changes everything!
Okay.
And then I'm going to scramble the rest of my movement back up the hill.
Alrighty. Jordan, you're up.
As you hand her the short bow, she'll just, like, take it with watery eyes, but it's, like, gross watery because she kind of has, like, black tears. She's like, "Thank you so much." And just, like, a big smile goes across her face, but it's a little unsettling.
Don't mention it. Please, please do not mention this again. This was very unsettling.
And with the glee of friendship behind her, she's going to go in for some more stabs.
Go in for the stabs. Yay. Roll to that hit with advantage.
I love friendship stabs, stabs, stabs.
Friendship stabs. That'll be a 24 to hit.
Yeah, that'll hit.
So the first attack, grinning ear to ear, swipes for an 11. Goes in for a second hit. And that strikes a little bit more true for 7 damage.
You killed it by a blow, too.
She's just absolutely dancing in La La Land and doesn't even realize it goes down. Just like, whee!
And I need everyone to add 700 souls to their soul bank.
Ooh.
Huzzah!
Oh, shit. Oh, damn.
Good news is one boar is dead. Bad news is the other boar is about to charge. Jordan, it's targeting you.
What the fuck?
Turns to the real boy and the knight next to me. I'm like, "Well, their time's a charm."
I love how fatalistic the spider is every turn. Like, this is it. It's death time.
13 to hit.
Does not hit.
It misses. It is now Grayson's turn.
Well then, let's go ahead and do our 2 attacks.
Ooh, that's a crit.
Woo! Oh!
Hell yeah.
Would we say that this thing is looking rough or no?
It's taken some damage, but it's still got some fight left in it.
Alrighty, well, let's get him a little bit closer. I will spend much more than I would want to, but hey, we want to get this guy done, right? So I did 13 total damage. So I'm trying to get it to 25 damage.
Oh.
12 position.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Oh, that hurt.
That's what I wanted to hear.
The boar is just squealing in pain, and it looks over at you. And protruding spikes from its tusks just barely miss you. They, like, stop right in front of your face, like a centimeter away, and you don't even flinch.
Well, now, look at that. I have your attention, don't I? Scream.
Alrighty, Aaron's turn.
The huntsman draws his bow back. So dramatic. Ew, well that, oh, boo. So that'll be a 14 on the die. I'll dump 4 position into it to get it up to a hit.
Okay, 18 will hit.
I was gonna do like 40 damage, but 5.
Only 36 for you.
Ew, this is weak.
I was counting on you. Yeah.
12 total damage. The huntsman's like, so dramatic. And since he's talking, he just like shoots the arrow. It does like a glancing blow.
All right, top of the round. Daniel, you're up.
Second verse, same as the first. Let's hit it with a mace.
Yeah!
That's a 13. I don't think I want to spend 5 position for a max of 6 damage. I'm going to let you guys deal more damage than me.
And that is now Daniel's turn.
No, it's not. I just did my turn.
No, Dan's turn.
I am going to scramble down on the other side of the boar, and I am going to give specifically the spider, the help action.
Thank you.
As I draw the boar's attention away. So I am going to whack it with my scepter, not as an attack, but as a way to draw its attention away.
Ooh.
And it works.
And that ends my turn.
All right, Jordan, you're up.
What a nice guy.
It seems as though the young sire has learned a lot.
As he is whacking repeatedly, going, back, back, you beast, back.
What growth. That'll be a 19 to hit.
19 will hit.
18.
Oh, shit.
Okay, 18 damage. Now it's looking rough.
Son of a biscuit.
Wait, I get one more attack.
That's right, you do get one more attack. I forgot.
Slice, slice. Stab for 7 more damage.
And describe your killing blow.
Oh, shit, yeah!
Inspired by this team effort of all of us coming together to wallop a wild animal, that final strike drives true, and I imagine, like with the first boar, just starts to crumble away into dust, leaving just our companions in front of us. And maybe the prince continually whacking at the air. Not sure.
The prince is looking away and whacking at the ashes where the boar was, still continuing to yell, back, back, beast, back, foul beast, know your place, get away, get away.
The real boy walks up, pats him on the shoulder. That'll do, prince. That'll do.
I hate you all.
Everyone add another 700 souls into your soul bank, and you are now officially out of combat.
Woo!
Yay! Yay!
The huntsman looks around. You know, I feel like we used to get meat from this. I don't know what happened.
Souls are tastier. Take that as you will.
No thanks, you can keep it.
I believe the direction we are headed is north. Is that correct?
It is.
As we turn and look at what I imagine is this ominous, jutting silhouette of black of a castle just on the horizon.
And the Deadwood Forest?
Yeah. Yep.
The Deadwood Forest.
So you guys make north to the Deadwood Forest?
Yep. And uncharacteristically, the huntsman is sort of last in line.
Well, that's good. Because as you guys enter the Deadwood Forest, it feels as though the sky has turned black in eternal night. But there is a bonfire, so you have found a small shred of respite. You see a busted up shack, and you see no one else in the surrounding area. You see no monsters. You just hear faintly in the distance the hooting of an owl, maybe a few bug noises, but other than that, the trees are absolutely mangled. And some of the trees, if you look closely, some of them resemble faces in a very eerie, ominous way. And Huntsman, these woods look familiar to you. Now, you remember when this wood was bright, and your mind flashes to a girl with ebony black hair in a clearing and you behind the bushes. And right as you think you remember more, the memory fades away.
The scar over my heart cavity, you know, aches. Could I feel my way through sense memory back to that clearing?
You know it's around here, but you don't know where it is exactly. The forest has unfortunately changed so much that you don't remember. You know it was close to the castle, but you can't remember exactly where it was from the castle.
Cool. As we're walking, Huntsman will just be scanning, you know, looking for signs of where it is as we walk. He's quieter than usual, I guess.
Are you okay, Huntsman? You seem you are searching for something.
Yes. Our mark is close by. Any information could be helpful, of course, in hunting it down. I'm as good as I was when we woke up and re-entered eternal torture, so I'm fine as far as that goes.
And he says I'm dramatic.
Ouch. Now the inside heart hurts too.
The prince, as we are continuing to walk forward, is going to turn to the real boy and ask as we are moving along, so your whole dedication thing, does it leave you any time for pleasure, anything? I know you serve the Lifebringer, but do you actually live?
Ooh.
Specifically the mention of the word pleasure, he kind of gets a 1,000-yard stare and just kind of looks into the distance. Pleasures lead to pain and hardship if indulged too much. I know this personally, and it has been a driving thing to keep me on the path that the Lifebringer has granted to me. My devotion is what brings me pleasure, as before this, things were much more difficult when I consider them to be more fun.
Well, that's very dour. I would advise you not to lose sight of your own personal wants and desires, because, as I've said before, what's a life if you're not going to live it?
He opens his mouth to speak again, and you hear the cricket on his belt start chirping. He unclips a little cage, puts it to his ear. Mm-hmm. Yes. No, I agree with you. Yes. And he kind of just walks away talking to a cricket.
And then I think we'll probably make our way to the bonfire.
I think bonfire is a good idea.
Also, just to say, the shack is open and you do see some papers and other things inside in case you want to go inside there as well.
Yeah, well, now that you've given us stuff to be nosy about.
Yeah. With the things pointed out. The huntsman will wait outside because reading is for nerds and losers, but I'll give everyone else a chance to go look at the papers.
Yeah, the knight will post up and wait just in case something decides to run out or something.
Just getting a general look inside, can I scan around the room to give just a general perception of if there's any immediate danger?
Yes, and there is absolutely no danger. It is an abandoned shed. There's a cot, there is a table with some knickknacks, but there's tools about. The tools of a craftsman, of someone who is good with his hands. And there you could also see the remnants of a workshop, a little workstation, a long dead fire kiln for forging metal. So whoever inhabited the shack, they would build things. They would build things out of wood, they would forge things out of metal. They were a craftsman. You see a book that has been torn to shreds, but what you can find is the last bits of a journal that are still legible and what still can be read. And do you want me to read it out or do you want to read it for yourself?
If you want to send us the text, one of us can read it.
I will send Dan the text directly in a DM since he's the one who's quote unquote middling about.
Yeah, I think I'm standing in the room, but more taking it in as a whole.
All right. So, reading this aloud. I fear they may have discovered who I am, or who I was. I swore to leave that life behind, especially after the miracle of my son. Oh, my dear boy, why did you have to go off to fight? If the queen gets to me, what will become of me? Will my mind crumble? Will I remember my boy? Will I remember how to apply my craft? I must leave. How I pray to the Blue Fae that my boy will find his way home. My dear Pin... And then it's cut off.
No, I agree completely. What do you mean? This kind of looks to the house and realization starts to dawn and I don't think I made my way in. I'm gonna enter the house very slowly and look around.
As the real boy enters the house itself is unfamiliar, but the tools are not. You glance over at the woodworking tools, you glance over at the small humble forge, and you recognize every single piece of equipment in here. And it harkens back to a time where you just hear the sound of laughter, yours, and an older man whose time has whitened his hair, but you recognize him as a sort of parental figure to you. Your memory is still trying to piece things together, but that man and these tools, you can deduce that they belong to him, and you know he means something to you. You, unfortunately, don't know what it is.
He walks over, picks up these wood carving tools, kind of rolls them in his hands, and just tries to place names, faces, locations, just trying to piece anything he can together. And when nothing is coming up, he takes like a chisel or something and just out of frustration stabs it into the table and just lets it go and just kind of steps back. Why are these here? What did he do with them? I don't understand. He just looks confused, conflicted, concerned, and just keeps staring at the tools, trying to rack his brain over anything, and nothing is coming in. It's frustrating him.
Huntsman looks in through the window, giving that side eye when, like, you hear something. It sounds like someone throwing a tantrum in the next room, and you're just like, is everything, okay? All right, buddy.
Well, if it helps, maybe. If we come across anyone named Pim, it may be good to give them this letter.
Pim.
Pim.
And he asks if he can see the letter.
Yeah, I will hand it over.
As he hands the letter over, you look at it, and you recognize the handwriting, and another memory flashes back. You remember shouting, yelling, about how it's your duty to fight, how the Life Giver, or the Blue Fae, gave you life, and you must protect it. And the old man begging you to stay. All you hear are just sounds of him sobbing, crying, and you determined walking away, joining the front lines to fight for the kingdom.
He reads it over and he looks at the name Pin and he says, no, that isn't correct, but I don't know what is. And he kind of folds the letter and places it into his bag. Looks around the house one more time to see if there's anything else that he would recognize before stepping back out to the bonfire and just kind of staring at it.
You do see one little thing, an idol, carved in the image of the Life Giver, or as other people call her, the Blue Fae. You remember this as this is one of the first things that you ever received as a present. But once again, you don't know who gave it to you. You just know that idol once belonged to you.
He walks over and he picks it up. And yeah, again, just steps outside, lost in thought and overwhelmed by all of this.
If this is a place that causes you distress, perhaps we might burn it.
It is not the location that causes me distress. It is stirring memories of things that I should remember. They're not easy things to remember, but they are things that I should remember, and I don't. And that is what frustrates me. Besides, it is a place that if we need to, we can take as a refuge. There's no reason to burn it.
Very well, then. We will save it for another time.
I think the spider is gonna, like, quietly lean over to the knight and ask, do you often burn things that cause you distress?
No.
I am convinced.
This was a simple gauge in what he might do to things that do cause him distress.
Understood.
After a moment, the huntsman will sit down next to the real boy, just like absolute mirror image, also 1,000-yard stare. They both just got memory trauma looks on their faces.
The prince is going to sit near the knight and just kind of side-eye him and say, you know, you really are a rather cryptic one. I don't quite know where exactly you stand on any particular issue. You fascinate me.
And you, young sir, you're very kind in your words. And I expect good things to continue to come from you. More lessons will be had along this road.
I don't know that I would necessarily interpret my words as kind on average, but fair enough. I shall continue to enjoy your assistance and the assistance of each of you. And it might be pertinent to remember that when we see this through to completion, it will be of great benefit to have a friend in high places. And I will see to it that we all get what it is that we want by our journey's end.
Well put.
The knight is listening, and two people are just staring like space cadets into the fire as you gesture at everyone.
Huntsman and Grayson, I need both of you to make me a perception check, please.
All right. Let's show off my good eyesight.
Did you say with advantage? Did you say with super advantage and plus 50?
No.
Oh, well, then I got a 5.
I got a 9.
I was trauma staring for, hey, just a point of order. There's a reason.
Yeah, we've got trauma staring and probably the, like, densest visor you've ever seen.
Yeah. I'll just say that the boar guts are still kind of, like, there. So he's taking a moment to kind of, like, clean it off a little bit.
Okay.
What don't we see, Ben?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. Cool!
Well, if any of us need a break, perhaps we pay a visit to previous individuals. Possibly a short rest.
Above table are two people who do kind of use magic. Do you want more magic? Because so far none of us can level up, so we'd really mostly go back if you guys could benefit.
I don't think there would be much mechanical benefit to us returning at this time. I think the best course of action would be to activate bonfire for respawn purposes and then move forward.
Mm-hmm. Hit our save point and then keep moseying.
All right, so bonfire activated, but...
but keep moving, I think, would be the way to go.
Keep going north, I believe.
Daniel?
Yes?
Roll me a perception check, please.
Oh, boy.
Ben wants us to say something.
Oh, goodness.
Sounds like we're not.
11?
So, with an 11, as the bonfire is lit and everyone is about to leave, you see out of the corner of your eye the point of a spear going straight towards you.
Do I have time to react?
You do. Because you see it, you're able to miss it. And the person whose spear is attached to comes out from the bushes.
Fuck, it's Patches.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Comes out of the bushes, misses you, and goes, give me your gold, give me everything you got, or you'll be stuck with again.
Are you lying? You didn't hit me the first time.
Shall I kill this one?
Well, how about this? And he lunges, and he is going to make an attack roll against you.
Okay.
Does a 9 hit?
No. I just sidestep again. Sir, are you trained with pole arms? You're not very good at this.
Whatever, just give me your stuff and I'll let you live.
Sir Knight, could you come take a look at this? I think you'd find it quite entertaining. He's threatening me, and he's missed twice.
Well, that's because I just want to give you an ample chance to leave with your lives.
In order to make a threat, you have to be threatening.
You do realize you are outnumbered 5-1, correct? Sorry, 6-1.
No, I'm not. All I see,
Shall I kill this one?
No, please! Spare me! Spare me! He drops the spear, crouches down, hands are on his head, and just starts cradling like a coward.
Oh, look, he's an easier target. Huntsman.
Yes, I'm on it. Unless anyone wants to stop me, I will just shoot him.
No, no, please, 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 no, no, I made a terrible mistake, I see that now. Oh, please don't kill me. I'll be in your service, I'll serve you. I will be in your service, and I'll get you things. Yes, yes, see, you're ashen ones, right? All of you, you're all ashen ones?
Nobody in the party has told me not to attack. I think I'm going to go ahead and...
I can get you things. Look, okay, I'm a terrible bandit, but I'm a decent burglar. My name is Patches, and I can get you things. I'm an ashen one. I can get into the Great Flame Shrine. I can get you wares. I can go around places that other ashen ones don't dare to tread because they don't know the back roads like I do. Look, I just tried my hand at being a bandit for a second, and I can see now that I have terribly misjudged the situation. I thought you were all just bumbling idiots, but apparently the bumbling idiot here is me. Hi, I'm Patches. Don't kill me.
That's a 17 to hit.
Oh, it hits.
If he... is like us, which will be my assumption. His position cannot be that high. So if I have 10 on the D6s, 5 on the D8, that's 15. I've got 19. So I'll just go ahead and bump that up to 25, and I'm pretty sure we'll kill him.
He won't die, but it'll hurt like hell.
God damn, what a tanky motherfucker.
So he takes the arrow, and... Ah, okay, I... Ow! Oh, gods, that hurts. By the flame. Okay, I deserve it. I deserve that. But I swear, if you let me live, I will be in service to you. I can go to places unseen. You're after the vile ones. We're all after the vile ones, right? Well, you are after the vile ones. I just want to get rich. But what I can offer you is commerce. I can offer you wares. I can sneak into the queen's boudoir. I can get some shinies. I can get some valuable stabby things. You, points to the huntsman, you definitely could probably use a stronger bow. Ow, ow. Just please, just spare me and I will be in eternal service to you. As he now grovels, head to the ground, and he is on his hands and knees just begging to be left alive.
The prince is going to turn to the real boy and say, can you heal up his wounds? And then turn to the huntsman. And then after he heals him up, can you do that again?
Absolutely I can.
What? No, please don't do that again. No, I prefer you not.
Well, perhaps you should sufficiently convince us of your worth.
Okay, fighting I'm bad at. Oh, you can all see. No, all I know about these sorts of things, as he points to the spear, is stick them with the pointy end. And I have failed in that respect. But I can get other things.
And he pulls out a small satchel with a few trinkets, a few rings, a warrior's round shield. He also has a set of sellsword armor.
And he's like, look, this suit of armor, these shields, I can get them from places that no one else would like to go. I could rob the Queen of Vanity. I could take things from the Mother of Wickedness. I could go into the private things and steal the shinies. Just please let me live and I will prove to you that I am worth keeping alive.
Well, you can begin by giving us everything you've got.
What?
I'll knock another arrow, and it's pointed at him.
Okay, first one's free. But you know what? No, you don't want any of these. And he reaches for, and he fervently tries to grab one thing. He's like, okay, you don't want any of these things. These things are terrible. But he does produce a ring. And also, he produces a scroll.
Ooh.
Yeah, this right here is a spell. It's a soul arrow. I can't do magic myself, but if you can use it, you can take it. You can take patches. We'll give you this, and also ring. None of these rings. These rings are terrible. Come on, patches. Where'd you put the shiny ring? Where'd you put the good ring to make you sure you don't die right here, right now?
Hey, he's kind of growing on me.
That's how he gets you.
Yeah.
That's how he gets you.
I don't think you understand how this goes. As we mentioned before, in order to threaten, you have to be threatening. Give us all of your stuff, and we may let you live.
Here, take this. It's truly the only thing I have that's valuable.
And he produces a ring, and it is an Aldrich's ruby ring.
Ooh, fancy.
This and the spell you can have free of charge. If you let me live, I will be your personal shop, and I will sell you things At a discount. Yes. For example, this ring normally goes for 1,000 souls, but for you, you can have this and the spell for free. Take it. Just please. Patches will be ever in your servitude if you just let me live.
Looking at him, how does he look health-wise?
He looks rough. He looks like a really strong powered shot or a sword would kill him.
Unless anyone has any qualms, I think we are fine with the other individuals that we made acquaintances with.
But are those individual shopkeeps?
I quickly, as this is happening, palm the ruby ring and the spell scroll and the shield.
And if we're doing a democracy here just so everyone at the table is cool with how it goes down, I also vote for killing Patches, which is what it seems like Grayson's vote is.
Yeah, it is. He's a coward on the battlefield and he doesn't need to be here. It's a mercy to kill him.
Damn.
That's why I'm not meant for the battlefield. I'm meant for commerce. I meant for selling and providing you with wares that you couldn't get anywhere else.
Huntsman?
Yes?
And I kind of step a little out of the way.
I'm going to grab him by one of his arms, twist it up, so that way he understands that he's not going anywhere.
Yes, I see now. Ow, you don't have to hold it so hard.
All right, for real, I don't know if this is a permanent decision. Are we all cool with this? I am about to shoot him.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
All right, evil party, here we go.
Ooh, I don't know. This feels like a pretty neutral choice.
the arrow sinks into his skull. He falls limp, and he fades away for good. And you have just killed Patches. Everyone gets 100 souls.
100? Yay.
Honestly, that's more than what he's worth.
He probably would have been more valuable to keep alive, but...
I checked so many times if that was cool.
No, I was 100% behind you on this one.
Super down.
Yeah. Well.
The spider's gonna be like, I feel kind of bad, but he also seemed like a terrible person. He kept reiterating sneaking into the queen's boudoirs and stealing their private things, and that just felt icky.
It was rather dishonest of him. I wasn't a fan of him trying to stab me twice either.
No.
I believe this was the proper choice. If he is willing to sneak around and steal from other individuals after attempting to steal from us, I do not believe his allegiances would have remained on our side.
Agreed. And the huntsman takes a swig of his Estus so that my base position can go back up to normal. And so he'll look over at everyone and he'll be like, it's good to be all on the same side for this one. Only a real coward would die from a wound to the back.
So, Grayson, you were the one who was holding Patches, correct?
Yes.
As you look down, you see that he didn't really drop anything of, like, monetary value, but you do see an item, and it very vaguely looks like a wand with a very elegant star on top.
Ooh. Cute.
I'm going to go ahead and pick it up.
All right. Add to your inventory, weird star rod.
Sweet.
Very nice.
With that out of the way, I believe we were headed north.
Agreed.
And because we had someone sneak up behind us, I will take the back.
The prince is going to cast one more glance at Patches and kind of take stock of the party around him and everyone's various reactions and just kind of take note and keep it in mind.
Oh no, he will remember that!
Oh, no!
So, after dispatching Patches, activating the bonfire for respawn, you come across a clearing. Huntsman, this clearing feels familiar, because you know this is right before you hit the gates to Ebony Castle. As you guys approach the next clearing, you see in front of you a massive amount of crystals on a pedestal. But then the crystal moves. It twitches. And you hear a low guttural. So as these crystals move and you see two arms, two legs, and a giant tail swish, you realize that this is a large, ravenous crystal lizard, and it sees you, and it is ready to do what it was told to do by the Queen of Vanity herself. Kill all trespassers. Roll for initiative. Aaron, you go first.
Blood starts to stain the huntsman's shirt from his heart wound. Probably right outside the castle, right about this clearing, would have been where he removed his own heart to put it in the box. Ugh. Also, is that a fucking giant lizard? So I'm going to do my special move. Stand still and shoot my bow.
Save us.
So my special move got a nat 1.
No! Oh no!
So while he's about to fire his bow, the string starts to splinter, and before it breaks completely, you go, oh shit! Instead of firing, you go to try and fix it, so your next one will have disadvantage.
Fuck, 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 sorry, sorry, sorry. And he's just restringing the bow instead.
Alright, it is now the crystal lizard's turn.
Oh boy.
So the lizard is going to jump.
But I don't want it to come here.
And since he did not land on anyone, you're fine.
Ah!
I do have my parry.
Oh, it's not just going to attack you. It has a multi-attack,
no.
And it can attack 4 times.
No!
Within a reach of 10 feet.
Oh, God.
So it's going to go for attack of Dan, Daniel, Jordan, and Aaron.
Wow, everyone it's not supposed to attack.
That's a 17 plus 11.
Oh my god. That's gonna hit me.
That's gonna hit. And you all take 4d10 plus 6.
Ooh.
4.
Statistically speaking, I am dead.
Fine day to die.
22 plus 6, 28 points of damage.
I'm dead.
You're dead?
I'm dead.
Well, you lose all of the souls that you had on you. And I finally get to say this. You died.
I have an idea. Let's leave.
All right, everybody. I'm here to keep you alive. And that's a big Liz.
Bye, the real boy.
Is everyone else alive?
I'm still alive.
I have 8 health.
I hold out my shield for a parry. And,
good parry.
Thank you. Which that was just one of its claw attacks. That wasn't even a big special move.
So does that end its turn?
It does, yeah.
Yay. Is my turn? Is Spider's turn?
Yep, it is Spider's turn.
Guys, I don't think we're gonna live that long. Should I just throw all my position into attacking this guy?
Yeah, I was about to say, we don't have to stay here.
You're not arena din. You can run.
We don't really have other options, so I feel like we might as well just grind this out.
Yeah.
It is y'all's call. We can all get killed, and that'll probably be the cool end to the episode. Or we can super lame, but tactically just go ahead and mulligan this one since we lost our healer first.
I think we mulligan this one by all dying in a super cool, climactic way.
All right, let's fucking go.
Going in hard. Getting absolutely walloped. Having one of our companions go down. The spider is going to just muster all the strength she can in the oppressive shadow of this crystalline lizard. It would be a 23 to hit.
A 23 will hit.
19 damage.
Okay.
And then I will do just a regular attack. Ugh. Does an 11 do it?
11 doesn't hit.
Boo! All right. I'm going to run to the east, away from where we have all collected, in order to divide its attention. And that will be my turn.
Okay. It is now Grayson's turn.
The knight will run forward, knowing that he can maybe take some of that, but we'll see. And I will go ahead and make my two swipes.
All right, roll to hit.
17?
17 will hit.
Yay!
Okay, so I got a 17 on the first roll then, and then a 18 on the second roll.
18 will hit.
Alrighty. That's going to be 9 damage on the first attack.
Okay.
11 damage on the second, but I'm going to burn 10 position for each of those to kick it up another 10 points of damage.
All right. Well, after
not
that
done
hit,
yet.
The...
Not done
oh,
yet.
You're not done yet?
Hell okay. No. We're going in. And I'm going to do action surge.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Absolutely necessary.
That's what I figured, too. 17 to hit.
17 will hit.
And that's going to be, I believe that's a 16.
A 16 will hit.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Holy shit. All right. That's going to be another 10 damage.
Ooh, nice.
And then second attack, 4 damage.
Okay. Well, after those 4 hard-hitting attacks, this monster is just screaming and screeching into the sky as a sword is just poking and prodding in places it's not supposed to. It sees one person who stabbed it go one way, another person who stabbed it go the other way, but there's still 2 targets in front of it that are it's like, I don't know where to go now. But it's not its turn anymore because it is Dan's turn.
So as it does its initial multi-attack of us and as the crystalline scales reach out and claw at me, my own skin will reflexively bristle and harden, taking on and mimicking those crystals in waves of metal.
Ooh.
As I cast Iron Flesh.
Good call!
My armor class goes up by 6, and I am resistant to non-magical piercing, slashing, and bludgeoning damage, but I have disadvantage on dex saves.
Okay.
I am going to do that. I am going to run over here to the side in order to split up the battlefield as much as possible to divide its attention, and then use a bonus action to chug an Estus Flask.
All right, Aaron, you have disadvantage on this next attack.
Reverse yippee!
Yeah, but 16, right? That's doable. That's, okay. Holy shit. The disadvantage is 21.
Oh, yes!
Oh my god!
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah!
That hits! That's Woo! Our huntsman!
21 damage.
Yeah!
Woo! You hit this monster. It's not dead. But it is hurting. Now this monster is just spewing blood. It is screaming in pain. It has poor people all over it. It doesn't know where to go. So it's now its turn.
Real quick, I did my movement and I used my cunning action to dash. So it roars, it looks down, and there's the little like dust cloud shaped like the huntsman where he used to be. He is fucking gone.
So what the monster is gonna do, it is going to move up here, and it's going to make its four multi-attacks. It's going to be two on Grayson and two on Jordan. That is a nat one.
Yeah!
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord.
Because of the nat one, I'm not going to make it stop doing all of its attacks, but it's only going to make one swing at Jordan.
Hell yeah. Let's go.
So it missed Grayson completely. He got a freebie. So it's going to go after you, Jordan. It's going to make another claw attack, but it's only going to do it for the one. Does 17 hit?
A 17 will hit.
Okay. 32 points of damage.
Oh, I'm still up.
Holy shit. Good for you.
Thanks. Holy crap.
And that is its turn. It is now Jordan's turn.
Thank God.
Jordan, don't get a nat one. Just at any point.
Let's fucking go.
The spider, just bleeding heavily, is going to just staggeredly walk to the north, make eye contact with the knight on the other side of this crystalline lizard, and is going to pull back and try to hit. 18 to hit.
18 will hit.
All right.
Hell yeah. Let's go.
Can I say, as I was walking up to use my bonus action to take a swig of my Estus flask?
You could if you want.
Okay, I will do that. As I do that, I take those swipes. Is it still standing?
How much damage did you do?
19, 20, 21.
Describe your killing blow.
Thank God.
Thank goodness.
She just, with zero grace, zero elegance, just screams a guttural bestial scream, takes the estoc in both hands and just drives it into the side and just collapse.
Holy.
You are all out of combat, and those who have survived, I need you all to add 5,900 souls to your soul bank.
So happy for you guys. So very fucking happy. All that happens and the real boy rolls back up. I'm here to help and I'm glad to see you were able to get that done. Sadly walks over and collects his souls.
Well, if it helps, we are just shy of a new level. But
I'm so happy for you
very,
guys.
Very, very close.
I'm halfway there.
As you guys walk up north, just beaten half to death, you arrive at the gates of Ebony Castle. And in front of the gates is a bonfire waiting for you.
Yippee!
You were risen from the earth, given a second birth. When all has fallen into darkness, a chance to break the curse, the sound of battle cries. Blood red dirt and crimson skies. The kingdom is pleading for its hero. Will you be the one to rise?
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of D&D Dark Souls, created and hosted by Ben Magnet, with artwork by Jordan Nelson and editing by myself, Danger Dan Jurs. If you want to join the ranks of patrons like Bronichiwa, Adenine, Dire Beast, Grey Fox, and Harley Q 135, then head on over to our Patreon and sign up for $1, $5, or $10 a month. You can also help us out by spreading the word to your friends and family, or leaving us a review at ratethispodcast.com/dndark. Our cast was myself, Danger Dan Jurs, as The Prince, Daniel Cruz as The Real Boy, Jordan Nelson as The Spider, Aaron Coffold as The Huntsman, and Grayson Norman as The Knight. Our theme song and outro were created by Nicole Carino. Additional music was provided by Monument Studios. Keep an ear out for more content from us, and follow our socials at dndark_podcast for more information about more of our upcoming projects.
Also, at hearing that he does potentially know what jazz is, the knight will kind of like look over his shoulder.
I don't know. It sounds a little bit of a silly symphony to me.
No!
Very nice. Thank
Good night,
you.
Everybody.
Yep, thanks, Grayson. All right, yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Hello and welcome to Super Stryford Regency Rangers, a comedy action adventure loosely based on Sentai and Sensibility by 9th Level Games and starring some of Stratford's most colorful creatures.
You may call me Adrian Alucard Depeche. If you know what my father did, it could be bad.
Looking matronly with her face hidden behind a fan stands the Kuchisake Ona. Doesn't everyone think she's beautiful?
My name is Sir Gordon Topham Hatt. Pleasure to meet you. I like to make stuff go boom.
My name is Richard Milo Renfield.
He's back.
No, he's just still like that. Oh, God.
Hi, I'm Jordan, and I play Frederick the Loafer.
My God, is this the dude that was like... in that one episode of D&D Dark?
It is the deepest cut of inside jokes that could be made.
God.
Are you married, miss?
I am not married.
Kuchisake leans immediately to the group, just pulls a quick huddle. We need to get this trollop out of this fucking town.
We go fight?
I meet you at dawn tomorrow morning.
It's... date.
I hope to find love like that someday.
She says that I hit her. I did not hit her. It's not bullshit. I did not. And as you're walking, he just keeps following you.
Oh, God. I believe I have made an unfortunate ally.
On his hips are two pistols. On his back are two rifles. And on his chest, a triple barrel shotgun.
Oh, my God.
I will destroy all of you and destroy this town.
D&D Dark presents Super Stratford Regency Rangers, premiering Wednesday, May 27th, only on patreon.com/dnddarkpodcast.